Welcome back to Smart Talk. Thank you for joining me today. You heard my conversation a moment ago with Pastor David Valentine, and now I'm joined by Susie Painter of the Baptist General Convention of Texas, and she is joining with the folks who are standing for the funding of prison chaplains. Ms. Painter, welcome to Smart Talk.
Thank you for having me, Trey.
It's good to visit with you. I've given our listeners these huge numbers, almost unrealistic numbers. $187 billion budget needs to be reduced to $156 billion. The numbers are so large that we can't really comprehend them. Try to break down the $156 billion budget for us, please.
All righty. First of all, it is, you know, when you hear people say Texas is like a whole nother country, when you start looking at our Texas budget, you really become familiar with what they mean, because that size of our budget of $156 million is a large budget. What happens is that out of that total budget, a large portion of our money, maybe just about half of it, is money that is either dedicated to certain services or it's designated by federal mandate, so that really our budget cuts, the $30 million that we have to cut, really in essence has to be taken out of $87 billion of discretionary money, or the money that we actually have the power to make decisions over. And that's what makes cutting the budget so difficult.
And who sets the limit for the budget to be the $156 billion?
Well, as you know, states, unlike the federal government, have to have a balanced budget. So the state comptroller gives us a revenue estimate of what our tax receipts, because our sales tax, our property tax, our business taxes, our excise taxes, she gives us an estimate of what those tax receipts will be, and then we plan our budget based on the money that we can project will be coming in. One of the problems with the Texas budget right now is that one of those major tax revenue sources, what's called the margins tax or the business tax, when it was created several years ago, there was a what's called a structural deficit was built into it. Now, I call that teenager economics. That means that there wasn't nearly as much money planned as was needed. And so we have a $7 to $10 billion hole in one of our major taxes. So when you put that hole on top of the recession that we've been having, our tax receipts are down, and that's what makes our budget in need of such severe cutting.
Now we
go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
Each chamber, both the House of Representatives and the Senate, each of them prepare their own budget documents, and they're not always exactly the same. And that's true right now, and it's true for prison chaplains. The line items in the Texas Department of Corrections budgets that have been prepared by both the Senate and the House are slightly different, but both of them show a sharp decline in the funding for prison chaplains.
You are among those who are advocating for the maintaining of the funding for prison chaplains, which would require that someone else's budget gets cut. Don't cut mine, cut theirs. So that's
yeah.
The nature of politics. Explain that.
Well, one of the things that, and I have a lot of sympathy for Texas Department of Criminal Justice, because when you're running a prison, there's certain things that can't be cut. You've got to have a certain number of guards, and you've got to have a certain number of meals and that sort of thing. And I do think that there are decisions to be made within the TDCJ budget of what programs should get cut. One of the ways that I've determined that priority, and one of the reasons that I place prison chaplains at the head of the list for maintaining services, is that the Constitution of the United States in our very First Amendment guarantees the free exercise of religion. And both in the military and in prison life, our courts have decided over and over and over again that the way to provide that constitutionally protected free exercise of religion in special circumstances like prison and the military is chaplain. And so while I think that the TDCJ has to make some cuts, I think that they should be cutting programs that are maybe good programs, but they're not programs that maintain a constitutionally guaranteed right.
We're joined on Smart Talk right now by Susie Painter, of the Baptist General Convention of Texas. Ms. Painter, if you were speaking to one of the senators or representatives right now, and they said, convince me that prison funding needs to remain there for chaplains, how would you answer it?
Well, I would begin with my constitutional argument that this is a constitutionally protected right that Texas has had professional chaplaincy. Secondly, that prison chaplains themselves, as they minister and help people within prisons, they save money for prisons time and time again. As they change the lives of prisoners and redirect them, it prevents recidivism, and it also prevents additional expenses within the prison, even while the prisoners are there. Also, I would ask the budget committee of both the Senate and the House to look at the programs. There are many programs that are funded by TDCJ, some correctional industries programs, their education programs, and other programs like that are funded at very, very large amounts, $69 million a year, things like that, to look at some of those programs and take a small portion of those budgets and reallocate them to help support the chaplaincy budget.
Why should the person in the Dallas-Fort Worth area who listens to our radio program and thinks that prisons and prison chaplains are in a different world, why should the listener of this program care about this issue?
Well, prison chaplains are in a different world, and they're in a world that was mandated by Jesus in the Scripture. There are a lot of issues that we hear about on the radio and every place else, but there's no doubt that Jesus said from his own mouth to visit those in prison, and he meant to take the word of God to them. So, first of all, this is a scriptural mandate. Secondly, these people that are called into prison ministry, they are saints. These people have a special calling. I mean, and many, many volunteers within Texas churches, people who also are the family members of prison inmates and prison staff, benefit so much from this special ministry. It is a special calling of God. And these folks change lives of people that you and I will never see in our everyday lives. We don't have the opportunity to go into a prison where a man or a woman is face-to-face with their own destiny, and if they're on death row or if they're in a seriously confined part of the prison, sometimes the prison chaplain is their light and their hope in Christ, and that is a ministry that is like no other.
My last question to you, ma'am. If our folks are listening and their hearts have been touched by the importance of prison chaplains and retaining the funding, what should they do about it?
Every person who is concerned about this and feels like it is on the call of God to provide the word of God to prisoners and inmates should call their elected representatives at their home district offices. It's not even a long-distance call. You can do it right in your own home district. Also, speak to your pastor, speak to the leaders of your church, and ask them to speak on behalf of prison chaplains. As well, chaplains in hospitals, chaplains, we've got biker chaplains, military chaplains, anyone that you know that is in a role of helping others and is called of Christ, to mention to them this plight of prison chaplains. I think it's one of the times that within the household of faith, we need to work together towards sustaining our brothers and sisters in prison chaplaincy.
Our guest on this segment of Smart Talk has been Susie Painter of the Baptist General Convention of Texas. Ms. Painter, thank you for your time and for your ministry.
Thank you, Trey, very much.